Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. And now I will read the words of the Decalogue, or Ten Commandments, and the congregation, please respond with the words, Amen, Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Jesus said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 95 in unison. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. Praise a loud shout to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Harden not your hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness, at Meribah, and on that day at Massah, when they tempted me. They put me to the test, though they had not seen my works. 4 years long I detested that generation, said, "This people are wayward in their hearts, they do not know my ways." So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a confession to make. I got scammed this week. I went to the FSCJ website in order to look up summer camps. They said, if you fill out this survey, you'll get a present. Okay, I thought. So I answered the questions on the survey about why I visited the website and where I was from and my gender and that kind of stuff. Finished the survey and I got my present. A free trial of Sologica skincare product. Now, I'm in my 40s, which is a great time of life. Your 40s are wonderful because you've been in your career long enough to not make a complete fool of yourself, but yet you're still physically active. You can do almost anything. But the one thing that happens in your 40s, as many of you know, is all of a sudden wrinkles appear. You'll wake up one morning and look in the mirror and, whoa, what happened? And I, for one, have always secretly wondered if those very expensive creams really work. So I thought, hey, here's my chance. I can get free Sologica skincare. So I signed up. Luckily, I'm married to a man who is wiser than I. So that evening, I mentioned that I got free skincare products, and he went, "Oh." "Kate," he said, "tomorrow I want you to call and cancel the order." "Oh, okay," I thought. So the next day, I call Sologica's headquarters in Beverly Hills, California, and I discovered that they had signed me up to pay $150 a month for the rest of my life. And not only that, but this little bottle of skincare product had arrived at my house. I started putting it on, but they told me that if I didn't return it in 14 days, I would be charged $150 for a tiny little bottle. You said this was free, I said to the man on the phone. He said, it is free for the first 14 days. I said, that's not free, that's delayed billing. He said, ma'am, it's all there in the fine print. So I searched around and I found the fine print, and it was very fine. It was in 5-point font. You had to have a microscope to read that. So the next morning, I had to drive to the post office where the man behind the counter laughed his head off at me and then gave me some advice. He said, goat's milk cream is really good. Today's gospel was kind of long, wasn't it? Did you notice? Did you make it? Did you listen? Ashley did a wonderful job. She was just approved as a postulant in the Diocese of Kansas. She's officially going to seminary. Congratulations, Ashley. Do you know why the gospel was so long? Because today we read the longest conversation that Jesus had with any one individual in all of the Gospels. Let me say that again. This was the longest conversation that Jesus has with any one individual in all of the Gospels. And what is even more surprising than what he says is who he is talking to. Jesus chose to have this, his longest conversation, with a surprising person. Number one, she was not Jewish. Number two, she was not married. Number three, she was a she. The word for woman in the ancient Greek of the New Testament is gyne, and it literally means womb. Women were seen as walking wombs. They were pieces of property designed to produce sons. So you didn't talk to a gyne unless she was your mother, your sister, or your wife. Because if you talked to a gyne who you were not related to in some way, well, that was like trying to covet someone else's property. It was dangerous. It wasn't done. So here it was at noon, in the heat of the day, and a woman comes to the well to draw water, and Jesus speaks to her, breaking every cultural law and rule that he knew. And he says simply, give me a drink. And then even more surprising, this woman talks back to him. Now, most women would have scurried over to the well, gotten the water, brought it back, given him a drink, and then run away. But not this woman. She was something else. She says, why are you, a Jew, talking to me, a woman of Samaria? Why are you talking to me? This woman wanted the truth. You know, the only way that we can find God is by telling the truth and listening to the truth. Because God does not lie, and God does not scam. Jesus tells her the truth. If you understood who I really am, you would be asking me for an incredible product. You would be asking me for living water. Water that would make you never thirst again. Now, this woman loves the sound of that water, but she has no idea of the fullness of what Jesus means. All she thinks about is how she would love to not be so thirsty. Think with me for a minute here. This woman, this Gine, is going to the well when the sun is highest and it is most hot. Now, in the climate of Israel and Samaria, your sweat evaporated. You could die outside at that hour. Everyone went to the well in the early morning or in the late evening when it was cooler. So why did this woman go in the heat of the day? She went because she was a social outcast. She was not supposed to be around anyone. She had to go at a time when she would not run into anyone else because no one wanted to talk to her. This woman had been married 5 times, and we don't know if her husbands died or if they kicked her out because she talked too much or what. But she was like the Elizabeth Taylor of her day, except nowadays it's kind of cool to be married a million times. Back then, it was social suicide. She was a pariah, a monster. People wanted to stay away from her. So, not only was she thirsty, but she was lonely. She wanted someone to listen to her, someone to hear her voice, someone to recognize that she was alive, that she was a person. She wanted to be heard. You know, I think that one of the greatest mistakes that we make in our relationship with God is that we do not ask God for enough. We do not dream big enough. We do not ask for everything, for the universe. All this woman really wanted was a drink of water and a little respect. Meanwhile, Jesus was offering her life eternal. And he wasn't just offering her a little respect. Think about how Jesus answered this woman's prayers. She wanted to be heard. For thousands of years now, we have heard her, haven't we? For thousands of years, she has gone down in the records of time as the person who had the longest conversation with Jesus that is recorded in the Gospels. This woman has been heard. Her prayers were answered in a way that she could not even begin to fathom. And so it is with us. We say, God, I want to make some friends. And God offers us the Messiah. We say, God, I need to make a little bit of money. And God offers us treasures of heaven. We say, God, I want to get rid of some wrinkles, and God is offering us eternal life. What we ask is too small. And God's answers are so big that oftentimes, by the time God's answer reaches its fulfillment over time, because it often takes time for God to answer, often when those answers reach their fulfillment, we've forgotten what we asked in the first place, right? Oftentimes, we don't dream big enough, and we don't listen hard enough or long enough to understand how God is answering our prayers. Almost 5 years ago, I fell in love with you and with this beautiful cathedral, and I came here. And one of the first things that I began to ask God about was this downtown of the city. I had never seen so many homeless on the street, so much blight, so much loneliness. I started praying and I got excited. We made this whole big vision of what the cathedral village could look like around us and rerouting the traffic and all these plans, and then nothing happened. And I waited and waited. But last year, something began to ignite. There is this thing, I'm sure some of you have seen the advertisements for it, called One Spark. Have you heard about One Spark? I love One Spark. It sounds like the fires of the Pentecost are about to get started. Last year, business entrepreneurs, artists, gathered and offered their gifts in booths, and awards were given. And over 100,000 people came downtown to One Spark. And I thought, is God's answer beginning? And then this year, One Spark is happening again, and they're anticipating over 100,000 people. And guess what weekend it falls on? Palm Sunday weekend. The one Sunday in which the church throughout the world tells its members to get out of our buildings and walk into the city. Because Jesus got on his donkey, remember? And where did he go? Into the city. And the woman at the well, when she realized who Jesus was, she dropped her water jar, which was worth a lot, believe me. And where did she go? She ran into the city. So at 10 o'clock in the morning on Palm Sunday, I'm going to invite all of you to the parking lot of the Diocesan House, and we're going to walk into the city, into the heart of One Spark, and we're going to say, we're here, and see what happens. When you pray, I want you to think about praying boldly. Dream large. Sometimes people think that God doesn't answer them. Let me tell you this. God does not lie and God does not scam. What God is doing is often so much bigger than what you can fathom that you think that nothing's happening. Meanwhile, you're being offered the universe, the love of Christ, life beyond this life. So pray boldly with me, will you? Let's pray together for a fire of Pentecost that will light up downtown Jacksonville and change us all forever. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord, hear us. For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud.
Betty, Mary, Nancy, Jackie.
Good Lord,
hear us.
For peace throughout the world, especially in the Ukraine, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, we remember especially Walter Edward Hoffman and Reuben Deschotte. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died.
Jonathan, Ed, Diana, Don.
Good Lord,
hear us.
For our journey through this season of Lent, that we may have the strength to practice the disciplines we have adopted. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
For this community, for One Spark, for my family.
Good Lord,
hear us. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray. Not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. So glad. If you're new or visiting, if you would raise your hand and hold it up, the ushers will bring you a present. Hi, dear. So good to see you. Hold it up so they can find you, though, if you're visiting, because otherwise they won't be able to know you're here. We're so glad all of you are here with us today. Our annual parish retreat is coming up on April the 25th through the 27th. This is a time when lots of our parishioners go to Camp Weed, and the theme this year is a holy rest. So if you'd like to join us, we would love that, and you can get more information and register. You can contact Sue Ingeman, who's in the back over there, or visit our parish retreat table in the cloister after the service. Many of you have taken on a discipline during Lent. Is that going okay? Yeah, good. Some of you are looking for service projects. Habit Jacks has 2 weekends in which they're building homes, and they can look for help from anybody. You don't have to have any skill at all. March the 28th and 29th, and I need to correct the dates in April. They're not in May, as it says in your bulletin, but the second weekend is April 4th and 5th. So we would love to have you join us to build homes. Also, every Friday, we walk these beautiful stations of the cross that you see around you. Those tell the story of what happened to Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to Golgotha. Walking the stations takes about a half an hour, and it's every Friday at 5:30. And don't forget, One Spark is coming, and I would love to see all of you who are able to walk about a mile to join us and enter into the downtown, into the heart of the city, as part of that day. It is my joy this morning to install some new Daughters of the King. I don't know if you know about the Daughters of the King, but they are a prayer order. They take vows to pray every day for the sick in this congregation, for the ministers, and they wear a cross all the time around their necks. So it is a wonderful order. They meet once a month to talk and have a Eucharist together. So daughters, welcome. Please come forward, and we will install our new Daughters of the King. That's right. If the new daughters can stand in front and the older daughters stand behind them, so you can put your hands on their shoulders and pray for them. Talk about the power of prayer. We got a lot of ladies praying in this place. And God is answering in a big way. All right, presenters, are you ready? We are gathered here in the sight of God and before this congregation to admit these servants into the order of the Daughters of the King. Let us pray. O God, our Father and our King, grant to these your servants such a measure of your heavenly grace that they may be mindful always whose child they are, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit, that by your wisdom and strength they may, with those whom they bring to you, come to your everlasting kingdom, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies, do you promise faithfully to obey the 2 rules of the order, the rule of prayer and the rule of service, to offer at all times your loyal aid to the priests and to the parish, to advance the cause of Christ, to wear habitually the cross of the order, and to work for its purposes as God may give you the opportunity? Congregation, will you support these women in their ministry of prayer and service? You say, we will.
We will.
Can I see the crosses, please? Thank you. Bless, O Lord, these crosses, and grant to your servants now to be admitted to this order such abundance of your grace that they may wear this sacred symbol in the spirit of humility and with devotion to the service of the King of Kings. Amen. I receive and admit you into the membership of the Order of the Daughters of the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, accept and wear faithfully this mark of your membership, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Almighty and merciful God, since it is only by your gift of grace that your faithful people do true and laudable service, bless these your daughters whom you have called to be in your holy service as members of the Order of the Daughters of the King. Guide them to lead a godly life in your church. Grant that having labored faithfully for the extension of your kingdom, they may finally inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, ladies, if the older daughters could go back to your seats. Oh, and give them their roses. That's wonderful. And you, new daughters of the King, turn around. We can give them their certificates afterwards. That'll be great. All right. Let us welcome these new members of the Order of the Daughters of the King. And remember, one of the ways that we answer God is by giving generously.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and singing. Bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to him, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Send us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body because we all share one bread, one God. And now, before we say our final prayer, I forgot an important promise that I made. I promised that when someone turned 90 or above, we would give them a round of applause. And my good friend John Corse turned 90 last week. John, you better stand up. Congratulations. Inspiration to all of us. And now please join me in the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Remember, pray boldly. Dream big. God answers in magnificent ways. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.